to the Leamington United Mennonite Church Sunday Morning Message Podcast. For more information about Leamington United Mennonite Church, please visit our website at www.lumc.ca.
Sunday, with a look at one of Jesus' stories, a parable. In the last 2 years, we've been in our season of reading looking at God's story, the big story of God and people. And in the Bible, our holy book, we think that God has revealed himself to us through the historians, through the prophets, the poets, and the letter writers who gave us scriptures. This summer, we want to look at Jesus' stories. Not stories about Jesus, but rather stories that Jesus told. We call them parables, and Jesus always tells these stories to explain something. It's been noted that Jesus was a storyteller. He loved to tell stories. Occasionally he would speak theologically, but mostly he's a storyteller. And today's story, the one I read already, is maybe one of his most famous, The Good Samaritan. Well, I want to tell you a story. It happened about 10 years ago. I remember this very clearly, reading it. It was in all the papers. If you're as old as me, you might remember it as well. The picture there of the man is of Wesley Autry. In 2007, he did something remarkable. He's a construction worker in New York. He's waiting for the subway to arrive. He's on the platform with two little daughters. They were aged 4 and 6, waiting for the train to come. Suddenly, just down the way, a man apparently had a seizure, stumbled and fell off the platform down onto the subway tracks. In the distance, they could see the tracks or the train light coming already. It was emerging out of the tunnel. And acting quickly and without any thought for himself, Wesley Autry left his two little daughters and jumped down into the tracks to rescue the man. He wanted to drag him, but there wasn't enough time to get him out of the way. And so what Wesley did is pushed him down between the tracks and lay on top of him, beside him, and the train passed over top of him. In fact, he was wearing a cap that day, and the grease marks from the train were on his cap. Then he jumped out when the train had passed and allowed the man or helped him get out. Well, it made the national news. He became a national hero. People were deeply moved by his selflessness, and they marveled at his bravery. What an amazing thing to do for someone he didn't even know. He really had no reason to help this person. He had two little daughters to think about. What he did put himself at severe risk of his own life. And so the press was amazed. He was called the Subway Superman, the Harlem Hero. And the headlines very quickly made it a biblical thing. Good Samaritan saves man on subway track. Well, if Wesley Autry was a good Samaritan, as you listen to that story, does it occur to you like it occurred to me? If I had been on that track on that day, would I have jumped down into that dangerous place to save someone? Would I have been a good Samaritan? And so there are many people who think that's what this story is about, that this is what Jesus wants us to ponder. This is why he told the story. Am I willing, if the circumstances arise, to be a good Samaritan to other people? If I saw a person lying in a ditch, would I take the trouble and the risk to help that person? Did you know that in the province of Ontario, we even have a Good Samaritan law? Passed in 2001. It essentially says that if you are able, and especially if you have medical training, you must render assistance to the person in need. A lot of people think that law is right or wrong, and they have strong opinions on it. Do you think maybe that's what Jesus was referring to in this parable? Let's take another look at this parable, though. How did it happen that he tells this story? Well, Jesus, of course, is heading towards Jerusalem, and he meets people, and in one little town, he meets an expert, a lawyer, someone who understood the law. And this lawyer is testing Jesus. He's pressing him. He's trying to expose weaknesses in his teaching. And so he figuratively cross-examines him. In your view, the lawyer says, what do I need to inherit eternal life? Jesus is a very good lawyer himself, and he fires it right back. What does it say in the law, he says? Well, the attorney knew this well. It's a simple question. The law says, love God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and secondly, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, said Jesus, there you have it. You're right. Love God fully and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and you will have life. But the lawyer doesn't drop it that easily. Ah, wait a second, he says. There's a problem with your definition here. State your terms, Jesus. What do you mean by neighbor? Be precise there. Who exactly is my neighbor? And it's in response to that question that Jesus tells this story. The story of the Good Samaritan. The parable about a man who is traveling down to Jericho who is mugged and left bleeding and near death. A man in serious life-challenging trouble. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and there's a photo of it, is really a desolate, desolate place. It is pockmarked with caves. Robbers could easily hide anywhere along that road. It descends, by the way. Jericho is on the way towards the Dead Sea. And you drop massively. You go deep, deep into ravines like this one. And it's a terribly dangerous road, even to this day. But let's look at that story. It's a pretty shocking story, and let me explain why. It's shocking because the two people you would expect to help out here, the priest and the Levite, both religious people, both come up to this man and do nothing, absolutely nothing. They intentionally avoid him. They cross the road, continuing their journey. It'd be like saying that a pastor of a church like me would do something like this, or the police chief of a town. Anyone who is expected to know and to shoulder the responsibility of right response would deliberately ignore this man in trouble. But the bigger surprise yet is the Samaritan. I need to explain to you what a Samaritan was in Jesus' context. Samaritans, I mean, we know the term. There are still about 800 Samaritans left in Israel. We actually went to where they hang out. We saw where they had done some sacrificing a number of years ago. But the Samaritans were seen as evil, difficult people who had lost their way. I would equate them today with saying someone from Al-Qaeda stops and helps this wounded man. That's the shock value of what Jesus is saying here. I am sure that the lawyer, when he heard this example, was fuming. Jews and Samaritans were expected to have nothing to do with each other. They hated each other officially and unofficially. And to have that person come by and do what the priest and the Levite refused to do, that's what gives this story its absolute shocking power. And so Jesus tells the story, and then he asks the lawyer, "So, you now define the term neighbor. Who proved to be neighbor in this story?" And interestingly, the lawyer can't even get himself to spit out the word Samaritan. He can't even say the word. He simply mumbles, "The one who showed mercy." And then Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." So some people think that what Jesus is saying in this story is, okay, I want you to go out there and do what this good Samaritan did. He cared for someone in need. I want you to imitate him and go do likewise. But there's some problems with that. The first problem is, if Jesus really wanted to make that point, then he probably would have told the story differently. He would have simply made it a moral example and left out that Samaritan business. What he could have said is, there was a man in trouble and three people passed by who could have helped, and one didn't, the second didn't, and the third one did. Be like the third. That would have made that point very well. But the second problem is even more significant. If Jesus' point is that he wants us to imitate the courageous compassion of the Good Samaritan, well, the reality is many of us probably can't or couldn't. And that's what makes the Wesley Autry story so remarkable. You know, a number of years ago, a famous experiment was conducted on seminary students, of all people. Religious psychologists did this. Researchers had a group of ministry students, and they told them that they had to do an assignment. And the assignment was to record a monologue on the parable of the Good Samaritan. But the thing was, the recording studio was way across campus, so they had to walk all the way across the campus to get there, and they made it a very tight schedule. Unbeknownst to students, on the path to the other building, the researchers planted an actor to play the part of a man in distress, slumped in an alley, coughing and suffering. And they had to walk right by this guy on their way to the recording studio. What would happen, this researcher thought, as these ministry students on their way to make a talk about the Good Samaritan, what would they do? Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Just about every one of them rushed by to make this talk about the Good Samaritan. But I don't think we should look down on these seminary students, because I don't know if we'd be any different. Simply knowing in our minds the right thing to do doesn't mean we do it. If we are going to be good Samaritans, that requires something even more than a change of mind. It requires a change of heart. Robert Wuthnow, a professor at Princeton University, once conducted some research on why some people are generous and compassionate and some are not. He found out that for many people, those who are compassionate had something happen to them to make them that way. One of his case studies was a man named Jack Casey. He was raised in a tough home, child of an alcoholic father, broken home. All my father ever taught me, he said, was that I didn't want to grow up to be like him. But then something happened to Jack when he was a child that changed his life. He needed surgery, and he was very frightened. He's a little boy at the time. And he remembers distinctly a surgical nurse standing there and assuring him, "Don't worry, I'll be here right beside you no matter what happens." And when Jack woke up, she was there, right beside him, still there. Jack Casey trained to be a paramedic, probably because of that event. And one day he was at the site of a highway accident, a man pinned upside down in the pickup. Jack was trying to get him out, gasoline dripping. And as the rescuers were using power tools to cut the cab apart, they knew that one spark could send everything up in flames. The driver was frightened, crying how scared he was that he didn't want to die. Jack says he remembered being in that hospital and how that nurse had spoken tenderly to him and stayed with him, and he did the same for the truck driver. "Don't worry, I'll be here with you. I'm not going anywhere." Days later, the rescued truck driver said to Jack, "You know, you were an idiot. That thing could have exploded and we'd both have been burned up." But Jack said, "I could not leave you." Something had happened to Jack that had transformed him, had made him into a good Samaritan. Has that something happened to you? Maybe it has. Maybe that's one of the points of Jesus' parable. What the lawyer discovered, and what we discover too, is that we can't stand on the sidelines and figure out how to be good, defining our terms. Is this person my neighbor? Is that person my neighbor? For all of our religious virtues and our attitudes, it's impossible to do. We are helpless to be good Samaritans on our own strength. You know, in some ways, we have been the person in the ditch, the one who lies helpless and wounded beside the road, the one who needs rescue. And along comes a good Samaritan that we call Jesus, despised and rejected like Samaritans were, who comes to save us, speak tenderly to us, lift us into his arms, and take us to the place of healing. As the Apostle Paul says, while we were still God's enemies, God saw us in the ditch and had compassion and came to save us. This is God's story. This is what Jesus wants us to know about God, that he loves us and wants to save us. So the question is not the lawyer's, what is the definition of neighbor? The question is, who has been neighbor to you? Jesus Christ has been neighbor to you. The crucified one has been neighbor to you. Have you felt his mercy making your heart merciful? Then in your heart, you will know what that means. Go and do likewise. Amen.
If you have questions or comments about the previous recording, please send us an email to lumc@live.com. If you would like more information about Leamington United Mennonite Church, please visit our website at www.lumc.ca. Amen.